Lord, we just lift up Louise. Thank you for the blessing she is to us in this church. Thank you so much that she serves so faithfully. And Lord, I pray that tonight you would use her. I pray that the words she speaks would be the words from you, Lord, not from her. And I pray that you would open our hearts to receive your word and that we would grow and change. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Amen. Apparently, I've got to mention, there is a ministry team tonight. That's what she just said, there's a ministry team tonight. And so, in a gap somewhere, there will be the ministry team who will be available to pray with you for any reason whatsoever. Good, bad, indifferent, they're happy to pray anything alongside and stand with you. Good evening! Okay. It's going to be like that, is it? Okay. Right, we spent the last season in church together looking at how important the spiritual gifts are to the life of the church. How God is, we'll get to that in a minute, can we? Not quite yet. How God is a generous giver. Do we believe that? Good, you've been listening hard. That God wants the church to move forward into wholeness and freedom and shalom, and he gives his children gifts. And we hope that you've learned more about the spiritual gifts over this sermon series. We hope that you've grown in confidence, and we hope that you are hungry for more of God. Heather is hungry for more of God, for the God who actually is a God who was always giving. We know that. The cross is the example of that, the supreme example of the God who always gives, who never counts the cost, who gives and gives and gives. So we're approaching the end of this series. As Heather said, we've got a two-week break. And as she mentioned earlier on the 1st of September, we have a testimony night. And just to reinforce what Heather said, we'd love it if you could share something, because in that testimony night, about what God has done, particularly over this sermon series. There's something going on with the youth, but not exclusively that. If you've got something that God has done in your life recently, and you want to share it, that is isn't that a blessing to everybody else who hears it? So it's hope that we're going to have a service full of those stories. Because if we don't have those stories, I'm going to stand here and it's going to be one of those things like when a comedian dies on stage. Don't let that happen, people. For my sake, and to glorify God. I'm looking forward to hearing your stories on the 1st of September. So we're at our last teaching on this subject of spiritual giftings. and it's not quite the same what we've got tonight. It's slightly different because we're not talking about spiritual gifts in the same way that we've been thinking about up to now. We're thinking about the fivefold ministry, gifts of the Spirit, particular roles that Jesus gives to his church. So I'd like to invite you, if you have a Bible, turn it on or open it up to Ephesians chapter 4. I have to say turn it on because most people have got their phones in their hand as I speak. There's Bibles available at the back. It's always good to have the Bible open in front of you. It's Ephesians chapter 4. Can't tell you what page number it is on your mobile. You'll find it. It's in the New Testament. Ephesians chapter 4. And we're going to be looking at the first 16 verses. Unity and maturity in the body of Christ. And this is Paul writing. As a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But to each of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. This is why he says, when he ascended on high, he took many captives and gave gifts to his people. What does he ascended mean, except that he also descended to the lower earthly regions? He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every aspect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. For him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. So tonight we're particularly thinking about what Paul said in verse 11, the roles, the office of apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. It's often called the fivefold ministry. And we're going to be thinking about each of them briefly tonight. It's been an interesting week as I've been looking at this because I have to confess, I didn't really know huge amounts about this until I discovered that I'd got this to preach on. So it's always a good opportunity to learn something new. And I had to admit that I think there's some confusion about where the church stands, particularly in the West, when it hears the terms apostle and prophets. Lots of you are nodding. This fivefold list of ministries from Ephesians 4 apparently is a source of huge contention in the church today. And I think the church has split itself, this list of five, perhaps into two lists. I think there's broad acceptance of the roles of evangelists and pastors and teachers. I think all of us would be thinking, oh yeah, that's fine, I know what they do, I know what that says on the tin, know what an evangelist does, I know what a pastor does, know what a teacher does. Yep, I agree with that. But apostles and prophets, who are they today? Interesting, do we understand what they're about today? And as I read into this week, oh my goodness, arguments afoot in the church. Who gave me this controversial subject to preach on? Nobody seems to agree on what the role particularly of apostles and prophets are in the life of the church today. So there's various camps. I just thought I'd quickly tell you. There are some who believe that these gifts, particularly of apostleship and prophets, were limited to those 12 disciples who spent time with Jesus, particularly the apostle part, limited just to those 12. Okay? Some of you might agree with that point. I don't know. Even though there are other New Testament apostles mentioned, I think that's an interesting argument because there are other apostles. We may know about the obvious ones, about Paul and Peter and John. Have you heard of Andronicus? Junior, who Many commentators are actually suggesting nowadays that Junior is actually a woman, a female apostle. That throws a hand grenade into everything, just saying. Matthias, Barnabas, James, the brother of Jesus, Silas, and Timothy. Interesting that, you know, there are other apostles mentioned, but some people still believe it's just the 12 that spent time with Jesus. Okay? Others contend that apostleship particularly flourished in the foundational era of the church, but is not for today. You might think that. I don't know. On the other end of the spectrum, there are many churches who believe that modern apostles exist and they possess the same authority as the apostles who penned the New Testament. Really? I wonder if you think that. Interesting. And somewhere in the middle are many people who affirm that the gifts of apostleship and prophecy and its activity today are needed, perhaps in a more generic way, in a more generic capacity. So are you all confused? Confused? Some of you are going, oh, I didn't know there was this debate. I just came to listen to a sermon. Okay. So I just thought I'd start with a question. So we've got these fivefold ministries: apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Just out of interest, what do you think is mentioned most in the New Testament? Stick your hand up if you think it's apostles. You only have one vote. One vote, because otherwise that won't work. Stick your hand up if you think it's apostles. Okay? Stick your hand up if you think it's prophets. Okay? If you think it's evangelists. Okay, most for evangelists so far. If you think it's pastors. Okay, two for pastors. If you think it's teachers. All think teachers is winning. You voted twice, Veronica. Pastors and teachers. Okay, thank you. Interesting. The majority, all of us are wrong. So prophets are mentioned 150 times. The most mentioned of all of them. Brian's like, I knew that. Yes. Jesus. Then it's teachers with 125 votes. They're like, as ever, self-righteous. Yes. Okay. Apostles with 85. Okay. Then evangelists. Okay. With three mentions in the whole of the New Testament. Last should be first, first should be last. Only mentioned in this passage that we're talking about tonight. And isn't it interesting, because the majority of church leaders are called pastors. Only mentioned once in the New Testament. And I just thought, isn't that interesting? That the thing that's mentioned the least is the one that we actually spend more time thinking about than anything else. Just thought that was interesting. So we're going to look at them briefly, in turn, and then all together as a group of five. If you're completely confused, that's okay, because this actually is a kind of complicated a thing to think about. So I found, I read this week, a one-word alliterative answer for each of these fivefold ministries. I quite like this. So it says that the role of these five ministries are this: apostles, to govern. Okay? Prophets, to guide. I love a bit of alliteration, as we all know. Evangelists, gather. Teachers, ground. And pastors, guard. Yeah. Okay, Simon's impressed? Okay. So let's start with apostles. The word apostle in the Greek literally means the sent out one. So an apostle can be defined as someone who is called and sent by God to have spiritual authority to oversee a local church and to extend the kingdom of God. That sounds like a minister. I don't know if you would at the end of the service, so I'm not going to call you Reverend Louise anymore. We are going to call you Apostle Louise. I would find that actually deeply uncomfortable. Interesting. Apostles, I read this week, have a burden to build something that doesn't exist before. So that's not necessarily a local church minister. They have a burden to see differently. They are visionary future thinkers. They lay the foundation of new local churches and see that come into maturity. So church planters often have an apostolic ministry. As I say, they're visionary, they're future thinkers, and they're spiritual entrepreneurs. I think in the life of the church, there often are people who can see where God is moving, who can look over the horizon and see where God is working. They're the people that have got apostolic gifting. We may not call them apostles, but they're working in the ministry of that particular gifting. I think there are lots of people with those sorts of giftings. They don't necessarily call themselves apostles. So these particular five things that we're thinking about tonight are roles in which people have commissioned or laid hands on people and commissioned them for that particular role. But that doesn't mean that we can't also have elements of that gifting ourselves, if that makes sense. Are you a person who can think visionary, who can see where God is going and know where we need to be to catch up with the wind of God? That could be an apostolic gifting. Do we need to be listening to you and what God is saying through you? Are you a person who's got a burden for the church to be in a different place where it's not now?
Veronica's going, yes, Jesus.
Well, maybe Veronica's got an apostolic gifting.
She's going, no.
That's an apostle. And I don't know if you would say that apostles are an important part of church life. Some of you are nodding. In this country, in the UK church, we don't talk much about apostles or prophets, do we? Our friends down the road at Riverway, they're often having folk coming from other parts of the world church. They've got Prophet Tito, I think he's called, coming in the end of August, in a couple of weeks' time. Different parts of the church value different roles. So that's apostles. Have you got apostolic gifting? If so, I need to know about it. Interesting. Okay. Prophets. I think perhaps more straightforward, perhaps more obvious to us. Prophets reveal the heart of God for his people. They give guidance to individuals and the body of Christ. They give revelation from God. The prophet foretells and tells forth the revelation that God has for his people and his church. I think prophets have a very specific role as the mouthpiece of God. They are inspired by the Holy Spirit. Perhaps we have an idea of prophets that it's all doom and gloom, that the prophets are the people who've got sandwich boards on saying, the end is nigh, repent. All of which is true. The end is coming. Jesus is coming back. We don't know when. So, you know, we do need to repent. Don't disagree with that. we might have the idea that prophets is all about condemnation. Often, I think, sometimes prophecy is also about encouragement, encouraging the church to be more Christ-like, encouraging the church to step forth into its calling, encouraging the church to be what the church needs to be. Prophets should always bring back people to the Word of God. If what a prophet says disagrees with the Word of God, then it's simply not from the Lord. Because the Word of God is our highest and final authority. Would we agree? Quiet nods. Thank you, Ralph. Beginning to be a little worried there momentarily. I think there are those who are called and gifted to be prophets. But there are many people who have gifts of prophecy. Gifts of speaking truth in particular circumstances. A prophet under the Word of God preaches repentance, salvation, and encourages the church to holiness and to purity. Are you a prophet? Or have you got gifts of prophecy? It's a prophet's guide. Evangelists gather. Now we know, I think we all perhaps are more aware of what evangelists do. They are good news carriers. They carry a burden for those who are not saved. Those who are lost without a yes to the cross of Jesus Christ. Those who are not part of the kingdom of God. They are usually great communicators. They know God's word and they have ability to relate it to those who haven't accepted Jesus yet. They make it understandable and real and listenable too. The role of an evangelist is to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ from salvation to eternity. They can speak about faith. They can articulate the need to make a personal commitment to Jesus Christ. Now, in this church, we have some naturally gifted evangelists. You don't have to have the surname Graham to be an evangelist. There are some people who are great at sharing their faith. I'm not going to name anybody, but I can think of three particular people in this church who have just got this gift down, who can articulate their faith and draw people towards Jesus. People who have an anointing that inspires Christians to share their faith and the good news of Jesus Christ. So whilst we're talking about this being a particular role in the fivefold ministry scenario, also there are others who have the giftings of evangelism. And just for those of you thinking, well, I've not got that gifting, just to say you can't actually get out of this one that easily. You may not have the gifting to be an evangelist or the anointing of an evangelist, but every single one of us is called to evangelism. It's not a get-out clause. We are all called to share our faith, whether we feel we are Billy Graham or not. None of us are Billy Graham. Only Billy Graham was Billy Graham. All of us are called to do the work of an evangelist. So, you know, when you have those conversations at work or at school or at home about faith, it's like, well, I don't talk about faith during the week. I only talk about it on a Sunday when I'm in church, because that's where we talk about things to do with faith. We're all called to share our faith because you're the best example of a Christian that many people will meet, which frankly is scary.
Me too.
Me too. We are sometimes, you know, we may be the only Christians people meet. How do people hear? How do people hear about the saving news of Jesus Christ? Apart from those people who know about the saving news of Jesus Christ, why would we not share it? Why would we not? So you may not have the calling to be an evangelist, but by gum, you have to have the calling to share your faith, because that's what the church does. I'm ranting now. Carry on, I get quite excited about evangelism. So let's move on. That's the role of an evangelist. Teachers ground. Not ground people into the ground, but ground. Some of you could go, yeah, our teachers at school, they do that. Teacher is the one who holds forth the truth of God and is excited by it. The teacher looks for ways to enlighten and to explain and to apply God's truth. They communicate the biblical doctrine of Christ in clear and accurate ways. Prophets reveal the heart of God. Teachers reveal his mind. So this is the role of a teacher under the fivefold ministry. But many of you I know have got the gift of being able to articulate something complicated so that people will listen. Is this you we're talking about? Finally, pastors mentioned once in Scripture here in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. Their role is to nourish and watch over and protect the people of God. They are spiritual shepherds who nurture and protect. They give care to a spiritual community. They focus on its maturity as the people of God. The pastors greatest concern is the well-being of the flock. And so sometimes good shepherds need to train and correct and gather up errant sheep along the way. And sometimes, like a good shepherd, that may need a crook, that might need a carrot on a stick, that might need a slap. No, that might need some heavier shepherding, let's say. That's the role of pastors. We all know what pastors do. And many of us have got gifts of the ability to draw alongside people, to nurture people towards Christ. So all of this is very interesting, you're saying. All of this is very interesting, Louise. I didn't know about apostleship. So what's the point of all of this when it's slightly different from the gifts of Christ? Let's turn back to Scripture and what our passage said. It said it's about the unity and maturity of the body of Christ. We heard these words. I've condensed several verses. As a prisoner for the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Verse 7, but to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. This is why it says, when he ascended on high, he took many captives and gave gifts to his people. So Christ gave himself, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers, to equip his people for works of service, so the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith, in the knowledge of the Son of God, and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Now, I don't want you to read this passage and think it's all about those five exciting gifts. This is all about Christ and what Christ does for his church. He is the subject of our passage, is Jesus. And what he does for the body of Christ, for his church, for the equipping of it. Establishing these five specific named ministries. Why? Not so people look good, so the church is mature. So the church is equipped. It's not really about these five things. It's about us 500 and us million things. It's so we are who we are meant to be in Christ. According to our passage, when gifted people share their spiritual gifts, the church is one step nearer maturity in Jesus Christ. And the maturity is demonstrated when the church isn't carried away by false teaching, when the church works together, everybody working with the gifts that Christ gives them to be built up in love. Christ's intention in all of this was the perfecting and the equipping of the saints. So, are you the saints of God in this place perfected yet? I'm just seeing if anybody's nodding. No? Then we need these ministries and all of our gifts to be exercised, our scripture reading says. Are you, the saints of God in this place, fully equipped to do the work of ministry?
Rob's going, I'm not.
Is the work of ministry completed? Have we done what we're meant to do? No. That's why we need everybody in the body to be equipped, stepping into what God gives them. That's what we've been talking about this last season. It's about Christ equipping his church to fullness, to wholeness, to shalom, to saving those who have not yet heard about the cross of Christ. Is Christ's body, the church, fully built up yet? Is everybody who we want to be saved, saved yet? Thank you. Help me out, people. Of course not. And there won't be if we're not using the gifts that God has given us. This is the last message in this season. And it's a reminder that although we may not have been called and set apart for one of those five roles, although you might be, you never know, we are called to exercise in some aspect those giftings. And the giftings we've been talking about. Let's not forget about those other things that we have been talking about. The good gifts that God so generously wants us to be fully aware of and moving in and equipped so the church can live out her calling. That's Paul's vision for the church. That's Christ's gifting to the church. He died for us and he equips us. I think when the church on earth becomes what Christ means her to be, with all of us, all of the saints working together, exercising the gifts that God has given, then we will be fully mature. I think then, and only then, will we have the ability to fulfill the commission that Jesus gave us to make disciples of all nations, doing the same as he did, and even greater, he said. So as my last kind of thing to say is that this has been a fab time looking at what spiritual gifts are. And I don't want us to get to this end of the season and us to go, well, that was a nice, wasn't that a nice sermon series? Wasn't that lovely when we learned about the gifts that other people have? You know, isn't it great to hear other churches? Oh, they do great things in that church down the road. I don't want us to get to the end of this sermon series and not have it impact us and what God wants for us in this place. We're not called to be Hope. We're not called to be St. Bridget's. We're called to be West Kirby URC. And God wants us to move to maturity, where the saints are fully equipped, working together, loving one another, and doing what he has called. So I would like to implore, if you feel that you have been given something, or you want to grow in a particular area, the ministry team would love to pray with you tonight. I'd love there to be an opportunity when we gather on the 1st of September, not just so that I don't look awkward, but just to hear what God has done. Because it's not just for a one sermon series deal that we're talking about these spiritual gifts. God loves to give us more and more. Are we going to be a people who want more and more from God? Are we hungry for what God wants for us? Like, I would have, we'll have the spiritual gift of administration, but no more, Lord. I'm being facetious. We need the spiritual gift of administration. All of us do. So I'd like to implore you to check your heart and to ask yourself, are you ready? We sang before, we surrender. Have we surrendered our agenda? Have we surrendered what we want, what we look like, what we think? We've surrendered that glass of water. Thank you, Jesus. In order that Christ's calling may be seen in us. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you that you are a giver of good gifts. Jesus, we thank you that you died on the cross to set us free and from the power of sin and death, the greatest gift the world has ever known. We thank you for the power of salvation, for forgiveness. And Father, we thank you that Jesus equips his church. Holy Spirit, we want you to work in us. Not for our glory, but for your glory. For the equipping and the building of your people. Would you surprise us by grace? Would you surprise us by gifting? Would you surprise us with what you want to give us so that you would be glorified and that the church would be built up? Father, would you continue to give us what we need for your work to come to maturity. I pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.